You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
I had the opportunity to talk to a lawyer, actually, but it's all good. Brad Dacus, he is the founder of a legal organization called Pacific Justice Institute. They're a nonprofit organization, and they work diligently without charge to provide clients with all the legal support that you need in concerns of, like, constitutional stuff, you know, religious freedom, parental rights, civil liberties, things like that. He's a wonderful man, and they'd love to hear from you. If you think you might need them, then by all means, go to their website, pji.org. Their name is Pacific Justice Institute. Their website is pji.org. And with that, Mr. Brad Dacus, if you would just start out giving us a little bio.
Certainly. Well, yeah, I've been practicing constitutional law and for about 30 years, and about 25 years ago, I founded the Pacific Justice Institute, headquartered in Sacramento, California. Now you move 25 years forward, we now have 34 offices in 24 states, including New York, and we handle probably more cases defending religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, sanctity of human life, than any other nonprofit legal organization in the country, bar none. We also have a radio show called The Dacus Report, and it's heard on over 800 radio outlets across the country, and a commentary called The Legal Edge, heard on over 1,000 outlets. And, you know, God has blessed us with the ability to serve people and make sure that they're getting all, you know, the help that they need to defend their liberties, always without charge.
That is absolutely incredible. And I guess the length of time you've been around has been a while. First of all, that you've been practicing law for 30 years, you don't sound that old. So you must have been doing something right. Sound good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's really has gone by very, very quickly. And I've been really blessed to be doing the law that was always on my heart, which is constitutional law, knowing that it's going to impact the ability for people to live their faith, share their faith. And in fact, originally I was going to go to seminary and become a pastor. But I prayed about it, sought the Lord on it, and the more I did, the stronger my desire was to go to law school. It didn't make sense at the time. But here I am with all these attorneys defending the body of Christ and people of faith in the workplace, in the public square, in schools. And we do it, you know, all without charge, making a real difference. I'm also blessed with the ability to also guest preach. So I've been commissioned for ministry, and I do a lot of guest preaching. And in fact, I'm going to be preaching in a number of places here and speaking in a number of places here in the state of New York while I'm here this week.
Do you have a mentor by the name of John Newton, by any chance? You sound like a modern-day William Wilberforce. Wow-wee, that's cool.
Well, those are big shoes to fill, that's for sure. But it's a real joy to do the work that we're doing, and it's a team that makes it all possible. We've got fantastic people. We have a gentleman, Todd Lamont, who does great work. He's an attorney here in New York, and we also have April in the upper state in Albany, and then Michelle down closer to New York proper and New York, Manhattan, and then Gina, she's just a fantastic attorney doing great work with us. So we have a great team here in New York. We do all our work without charge. And you know, New York is a real challenge. Like California, there's a lot of tyranny that we've seen in New York when it comes to religious freedom, parents' rights, sanctity of life. Just, you know, one of the case issues, matters we dealt with was the mandatory closing of churches and synagogues not that long ago. And we were the ones who went into court. We got our case heard before the Supreme Court, and they ordered the governor of California to open those churches and synagogues now. And he did, and it sent ripples across the country, including New York. And it's been really encouraging to see just the progress we're making in states like California, New York, and other places as well.
Well, I remember that. That was you. Wow. That's amazing.
Our chief counsel, Kevin Snyder, did just a fantastic job on that case. And we got the order out in three days. They deliberated for 3 days, granted an emergency writ injunction, basically. And it was incredible. And then now we're dealing with countless numbers of people of faith who are being told that they're going to lose their jobs or be booted out of school or college because they refused to take the vax. A very, very controversial COVID-19, you know, vaccinations that were, have since proven, unfortunately, to have, for many, many, many people, serious consequences. It's tragic. Well, these people who have strong, just simply religious convictions, they prayed about it, felt convicted not to get the vax. I know some people prayed about it and got the vax, but many people are convicted not to get the vax. Right. And they've you know, hundreds of thousands. We've had to go to bat for them, and we're doing it across the country, including in New York, to empower them to not be treated like a second-class citizen, but to be reasonably accommodated. And with the Supreme Court's recent decision on Title VII and reasonable accommodation, we're making tremendous strides and headway here on the East Coast and in the state of New York.
Have you presented a case to the Supreme Court?
I personally have not. And I've made a point not to.
Okay.
I sort of like George Washington's example, which is it's all about building up others, preparing for his eventual departure. And that's sort of my mindset as well. My goal is to be an example to our attorneys and to build them up and to see them prosper, to see them do well. So that's what I've been doing. And the day that I argued for the Supreme Court, I tell people that's the day that I failed. As the leader and founder of this organization, I want to build up others so that they can carry the torch long past me.
Wow, we have mentioned William Wilberforce and George Washington in the last few minutes in this interview, and that's kind of unheard of, right there. They're two of the best people ever. So that's really
George Washington. He's my role model. He's for management approach and. And organizational buildup. You know, Napoleon was all about Napoleon, and when Napoleon died, Napoleon and anything he ever wanted to stand for died with him.
Right.
But George Washington saw beyond himself, and that's what we try to do at Pacific Justice. When I train attorneys at Pacific Justice Institute, I train them. I say the first question I want you to ask in your mind when you meet someone is, what are their needs, and how can we help them? And we do all our work without charge, and that's what we're striving to do all the time. We also have great resources on our website to go to bat for people. So there's so many ugly things happening in the public schools. Well, we have a customized opt-out form for parents, maximizing their rights under state law, state constitution, federal law, federal constitution. That's very empowering, and it's free, available for free download on our website. And for the workplace, we've got a training video called Faith in the Workplace to train business owners on how they can live their faith, share their faith through their company with their employees and their customers, their community. We have information on how churches can start homeschool co-ops and really impact their communities in real powerful ways. And we've been working on that, and it's exploding across the country, which is real exciting. And so we've got some really very valuable resources to help people. But one of the most sought after is on how to deal with social workers trying to take your kids. That's extremely important. We give emergency counsel to parents on this issue, and we have a great article called 12 Steps to Protect Your Children from CPS or social workers on our website. They can download all these resources for free at pji.org, pji.org.
That's it. Okay. So then that's something I didn't even know about. I mean, I figured the schools would probably be a real hot issue, and especially now that we're getting ready to go back to school, get all the kids back in there. So there's going to be some new challenges this year, I guess. Wow.
Yeah, I tell you, public schools in New York are a spiritual death camp as far as I'm concerned. People say that's pretty strong language. But now when you understand what they're pushing and what the mandates are, it's very similar to California. It's spiritually very, very dangerous for a child, I believe, to be in most public schools in far as New York and California because of the state mandates. And that's one reason why we have the opt-out forms available. And that's another reason why we are taking on cases defending teachers on issues of pronouns and also suing school districts where they're violating the privacy of parents and families and grooming children into a gender identity dysphoria or confusion. I mean, what person, what teacher with a conscience would want to deliberately affirm confusion in any child, especially when they know statistically that confusion usually results in suicide before the age of 30.
Wow.
It's insane. So we're taking these school districts to task very aggressively, coast to coast, and we do it all without charge. And if there's anyone in this audience listening and they've anything I've touched on, they say, hey, that's me, or I need help in that area, they should not hesitate to contact us at our website, pji.org. Of course, if they want to support us, become a part of our team and what we're doing here in New York on a one-time or monthly basis, they can do that as well at pji.org. And we're a nonprofit 501c3, so any donation is tax deductible.
Thank God for all that. Thank God for your PJIE. Does that get that right? PJIE.org.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's cool.
PJI.org.
PJI.org. Okay. I tried to add a letter.
P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org. PJI.org.
Beautiful. Do you see this whole school thing, what you were just talking about? Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel somehow?
The biggest light are states that are passing voucher programs, school choice, like Florida has and many red states. That's going to be the answer for many people. Others, it's going to be a flourishing of church homeschool co-ops and churches, big and small, across the country, reaching out. In the long run, I think that's what we're going to have, because these monopolies dominated by the teachers' unions have been very, very catastrophic and dangerous, not only in terms of the low quality of education, which is disgraceful, but also the indoctrination and dangerous results that's having in the lives of millions of young people across the nation. And the statistics don't lie. It's unfortunate. But I think that's why many parents are speaking up, saying, no, our kids are worth it. We want to change. And I think we're going to continue to see those changes moving in the right directions. But it's not going to be through the status quo of public education, and unfortunately, for quite some time.
Okay. Is there another area that you guys are working with? I would imagine this would be, I don't know how it would be, not all-consuming, almost. But, in the social arena, just every day you see something. But what else is going on?
Yeah, well, we've been defending churches, of course, and synagogues on land use and zoning issues. They want to build, grow, and expand, or a parachurch ministry wants to do something and outreach, or even someone preaching on a street corner in a public place being criminally prosecuted. We move in on all those kind of cases that involve religious freedom and people living their faith, sharing their faith, whether, in public square, churches wanting to do something, a ministry wanting to expand. We do that all the time. We have an interesting case in Southern California dealing with a church preschool. And the state says, you can't have a Christian preschool, not the kind that reads from the Bible and sings Christian songs. We say, well, that's the Constitution protects us, and we're litigating that issue and issues like that. We're also involved in helping situations where we have religious asylum, where not people who are just, swarming across the border, claiming, quote-unquote, religious asylum, coming from, Christian countries or Catholic countries. But no, we're talking about Christians and Jews coming from radical Muslim countries, communist countries. Their lives are hanging in the balance, and we are protecting them from being killed. Those that make it to the United States, preventing them from being sent back, are about 100 Christian Afghan refugees in a refugee camp in a Muslim country. We were called upon by a Baptist mission organization, and we protected, defended them, and got them to the United States and Canada, and they're now working to do outreach to Muslim Afghan refugees. So wherever we can further guide, the kingdom, we do it, and we meet those needs as they come up. One thing that makes us very unique is that we don't just cherry pick a few high-profile cases. We work hard, and our goal is to make sure that everyone gets help, that no one's left on the side of the road anywhere, that the American flag is flying. And it may be beyond that in the future, but that's what we do. So no one should ever hesitate to contact us. And, of course, we're also very broad in all the work that we're doing for religious freedom, parents' rights, and the sanctity of human life. So we help pro-life ministries, pro-life clinics, pro-life counselors all the time. And my favorite entity to probably sue is Planned Parenthood. And we've had some great successes taking them down in courts of law.
Really? Wow. I've been very impressed at states now that have, you know, it's very brave, especially in New York, because I know some people that work for pregnancy support centers, you know, nonprofits. And some of them are quite frankly pretty scared. I mean, in New York State, they've done a really good job of just really making it so they're afraid to step out and do things. You know?
New York, the governor of New York and the governor of California are both notorious for trying to persecute and shut down pro-life clinics. They despise them, especially since Roe v. Wade was overturned. This is their counterpunch to try to shut down all the pro-life clinics that are really loving, sincerely loving, and trying to help women to understand all their options.
Right.
We have a major case in California on this issue, defending the two largest pro-life clinics that Governor Gavin Newsom just despises and is trying to shut down. We have a Planned Parenthood we're in litigation against up in Washington State. And we're looking to go to bat and defend pro-life clinics, especially in hostile, oppressive states like New York and California, Illinois, et cetera.
I just don't understand the level of blindness, you know, because I thought, is there some, like for the governors and people in authority, were they like promised some big magical life eternal or something, but if they do this, I don't understand why they're going down that path. It absolutely blows my mind. I can't understand it. Wow.
Yeah, it's they're playing into their liberal base, the leftist base, should I say, and it's very radical, but that's where their money comes from. George Soros, you know, this is his agenda. It's those who don't appreciate the value and sanctity of all human life, particularly like Planned Parenthood, which unfortunately, since their beginning, has targeted particular minority communities, black communities, for as far as abortions. They have that's who they target. That's who they want to kill. Are in those babies, particularly in the black communities, lower income minority communities. And it's absolutely shameful and disgraceful, but that's where the money comes in. That's George Soros's. That's what he supports, and people like him, and they're the ones who feed these politicians' campaign coffers. That's what they're committed to doing. Fortunately, we've got a great Supreme Court, because of the Supreme Court appointments of the prior administration. That's been key to so many victories that we're planning, that we've seen, and that we at Pacific Justice Institute plan to experience moving forward at PJI.
Wow, amazing. I kind of off the record, I just remember, how many years has it been that a judge in California had to decide whether a male who thought he was a female could use the women's locker room? And I thought, if it takes you more than 30 seconds to figure out the ramification of that, you got a real, and here he was trying to, and I thought, you're out of your mind. But at the same, I thought, well, in some arenas, like athletics, it has gotten so wild that it's like, well, maybe this is like, it'll tip it over to where people are like, this is nuts. This is just crazy, anyway, wow, and so many people just disillusioned and hurt by that. And you were talking about the kids in school before. You know, they just need correct guidance and love and affirmation. And there's, let's feed them confusion when they're in the sixth grade. You know, so here we go. Okay. But, man.
Yeah, we have, through our office in Oregon, we've been our attorneys and working with a number of states across the country. In fact, six states to help them pass legislation to protect girls in locker rooms. against boys and vice versa. We've been doing this, and we even have a full-time legislative council working with state legislatures very uniquely across the country with our local state offices to promote positive legislation, protecting girls and girls' sports, girls' locker rooms, and the like, and issues like that, because we see tremendous possibilities at the state level because the Supreme Court has given a lot of these things back to the states. And so there's so much potential in the way of pro-life legislation, pro-family, pro-protection of children, and, of course, also religious freedom.
Wow. A lot of thoughts running through my mind. And probably, are you preaching tonight, or are you talking about lawyer stuff?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to preach?
Yeah, tonight I'm going to be preaching and sharing from the Word, also applying it to the issues of the day. Which God's word is very applicable. We forget that sometimes. It's very applicable to what we're facing. I'm going to be preaching at 7 p.m. at Calvary Chapel of Hudson Valley, and that's located at 36 Fireman's Way. And it's a Calvary Chapel of Hudson Valley, and I encourage people to come. And I'll be staying around afterwards answering any questions people may have, of course, always without charge.
Good deal. Yeah, that's a church that's very active in the community and stuff. They're known for their Easter service at the Poughkeepsie Civic Center, among other things, and inviting people like you to come and talk. So what's your big verse in the Bible?
My favorite verse is probably Philippians 4:10. Which is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that's my, my favorite, because, it's, there's a lot of challenges we face, but with the Lord, we have no reason to fear and to not to be bold and courageous and to move forward.
Wow, we need to just engrave that on every building where you must be reminded of that a lot, or have to be. Wow, the revolutionary guys. I mean, in 1776 and George Washington, those guys. I'm so impressed with how they may not have been pastors and stuff, but they were. They knew that prayer worked, and they were in a really tough spot. And so they were like, "Man, we got to know. Let's go to prayer." Man, oh man. Well, very good.
Very important. Prayer is very, very important. We have those who are prayer warriors who want to be praying for our cases and things. I encourage them to go to our website and let us know that they're a prayer warrior, because we have a separate list for prayer warriors, where we have intervention on prayer on things that we don't necessarily want to put out on a press release involving cases and things. So we encourage those prayer warriors that could definitely go and sign up to be on our prayer warrior list.
Well, thank God for changing the legal atmosphere around, right? For attorneys and lawyers. Wow. A side that I didn't really know personally, and maybe a lot of people didn't either, that was going on there. You are really, truly a light. In an amazingly dark world. That's pretty amazing. And I appreciate your time more than I really, really do. And I'll be talking you up a lot lately, especially since school starting, so people may want to get in touch with you.
I look forward to serving everyone throughout the state of New York, and particularly here in the Hudson Valley. It's our pleasure, and by God's grace, we'll continue to have success.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.